In the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, I'll read for the topic of God's Word from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses starting from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath vengeance belongeth unto him. Me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall under the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my own bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw him unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. This book of Hebrews has been written in the beginning of the 80s to the Jewish Christians, to the congregation. We do not know the name of the congregation or the place, but we know they were Jewish believers. This letter begins from what is a little bit different from the other or the book of Paul's letters in this way. It doesn't introduce who writes the letter, but it begins in a very festive way, in many ways, and often God spoke through prophets, spoke through the mouths of the Father and prophets. And during these last times, he has spoken through of his Son, which is who we have inherited, and through which he has created the world. And so, God spoke often through other prophets. They were the mouth of God. When it was the time of the New Testament, he spoke to us through his Son. When Jesus began his public work, his sermons were, he spoke of how the kingdom has drawn nigh, repent and believe the gospel. When Jesus left to heaven, he left the office of the ministry . He left it to his own. Even here in Pori, and even this area, God speaks through this weekend, through many different mouths. It comes to mind a happening in the book of Apostles, in the 10th chapter, how Peter came to Cornelius because he had been invited. When he comes to Cornelius, Cornelius says that we are here before God, listening to what God has to say to us. There weren't others. There was only Peter and somebody who was with him. This is how Cornelius understood it correctly. God speaks even in this time. And when God speaks, it is good to pause and listen. In this book of Hebrews, because of the many problems in the congregation, what we could say is kind of like a stick gospel. And because of it, towards the end of the letter, the writer kind of softens his text that has been written. Brothers, I ask that you take heed the instructions of this word, because I have written so shortly. Through the gospel, we need guidance and instructions, but that is not the main thing. In our text begins,
meillä on täysi oikeus astua sisälle.
We have the right. Therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of God. This book of Hebrews has been written to the Jews. It also contains explanations to the worship service of the Old Testament and how this worship service of the Old Testament changes when we have in this New Testament. Here is spoken of the holiest of holy. During the times of the Old Testament, in the temple in Jerusalem, which had been demolished, even when they were endeavoring in the wilderness, according to God's instructions, they built the holiest of holy. It had really strict rules how one is able to use that area or space. The chapter beforehand, in the beginning of the 9th chapter, it is explained here very precisely. The temple, there was the holy, where the priests had their daily worship services. But behind it was a room, which was called the holiest of holy. And in between, there was a veil or a curtain. And now God had proclaimed into the holiest of holy. You can only go there once in a year on the day of redemption. And even then, you could not come there without the sacrificial blood. Only one person could be there. Only the high priest that was in service. No one else was accepted in there. He was kind of the man in between God and the people. He spread the blood of the sacrifice on first on the redemption of his own sins, and then for the redemption of his people or the nation. This blood was spread on the grace throne and on top of the holy items. In the holiest of holy, they had these items that were holy. The most important of them was the grace throne, which is said this grace throne, which was the cover of the covenant, that on top of the chest there were the angels that cover the sins with their wings, or the place of the redemptions of their sins. So this is how it was arranged. This is how the worship service was during the time of the Old Testament. But then it is said in many places in the book of Hebrews the blood of the sacrificial lamb, the axe and the goat, does not take away not one sin, it is impossible. It is actually the opposite. It reminds people of their sin. Our text continues. The holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. This was to the Lord Jesus. It was a heavy duty. He suffered on the cross of Golgotha. Blood shed, tears of blood. He prayed to the Heavenly Father. The disciples did not have strength to stay awake. They did not have the strength to support their master. But it has been written, but the angels came and served Jesus. Jesus prayed that if it be possible, Father, take away the cup, the suffering, but thy will be done, not my will. In a little bit later were those who came and got our Lord Jesus. They condemned him and gave him so that he would fall to his death. And on the cross he cried, God, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And then he called. My Lord, my God, why did thou leave me? The Heavenly Father did not hear him. Even the people denied him. Even his father denied him. But he called, into your arms I give my death. Death could not hold him. He arose from dead. But what happened? In the temple of Jerusalem, when he yelled that, Father, I give my life unto you, the curtain tore from the top to the bottom. So that the covenant and the grace throne was seen to everybody from the holiest of holy. Now the redemption had happened, which had been promised since the beginning of time, to save man. Now it was no more a secret, but it truly had happened. The grace was present. It was present everywhere. We did not need parables or need a sacrificial worship. It had ended at that moment. 30 to 40 years later, the Temple of Jerusalem was demolished. when the Jews rose against the Romans. We have a great high priest, which the high priest over the house of God. This high priest, it has been written, the pictures of it in the fifth chapter. What was the high priest like? What was chosen of people? It is said here, he was chosen by God, or so that's how it is, or should have been. And it is said here that when he was weak, he knew what type of person was. And he graciously as it says here, for by reason hereof he ought for as a people who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, for he himself is compassed by with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought to, for as a people, also for himself to offer for sins. But it's said of the covenant of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, the new high priest, he did not raise himself to be the high priest, but it says, I am your son, and I was born of, you were born of me. You are the high priest. This Melchizedek is mentioned in with Abraham. He was the king of Salem. He gave, when Abraham returned tired from the war, he gave him bread and wine and blessed him. He was the highest priest of God. When the high priest of the High Priest of the Old Testament was based on the covenant of God, it was meant to be temporal. A person who was a high priest, he had to be a Levitican. It was meant to last, only to remain for the Old Testament. But for Melchizedek, it had no beginning, it has no ending. It's hard for us to comprehend the definitions of the times of the Bible. We are unable to do it. When something has no beginning and has no end. So it was said in this Melchizedek's high priesthood. Jesus' high priest. It was part of Melchizedek's priesthood. He was a high priest. He has sacrificed himself for the redemption work of people's sins, and this sacrifice did not need to be repeated, because it was a perfect sacrifice to God the Father. afterwards. The writer says here, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here it tells us to have assurance of faith. So the gracious Heavenly Father would graciously, or through the redemption of the sacrifice of His Son, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. We are encouraged to be to hold fast so we would not waver. We should be able to know the Word of God. So that the people who would be talking would not make us fall or fall into wrong, as it is in many Bible portion warns us about. Then it says here, we come to a place here, what I think that is especially important in today's time. Let us consider one another to provoke unto our love and to good works. We cannot, the gatherings of the, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Towards the end of our text, said here, how living and what a living and burning faith those Jews had. What all they took upon them. They were tossed into jail. They had to sacrifice. Their belongings were stolen. They accepted it with joy because they knew they owned something that is much better. They knew that nobody could take it away, which is in our hearts, has been given as a gift, or we have received it as a gift. When an unbelieving person receives the grace of repentance, and he becomes a child of God, he rejoices. He has very strong feelings. And even the step feels very light. These feelings come and go. Everyday life comes. We have temptations. Faith many times feels so cold. But it's good that in the Word of God it is said that our faith is not of our swaying feelings, but it is something much more in depth. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent to the Asian seven congregations through the angels. They had messages through the Apostle John. They had the Laodicean congregation, the angel there. They'd be cold or burning. That you wouldn't really care, you'd be cold. Faith is not important to you. That the angel of the Laodicean congregation said that you would be proud. They'd rise yourself above the congregation. You look down upon the other children of God. And he was instructed to repent. But you, child of God, that you feel that you are so cold, it doesn't matter. You are believing just as much as those that have a burning feeling of burning. That we wouldn't care. That is not accepted in heaven. When the congregation of Hebrew, when time passed, they're waiting for the second coming of Christ. Many became tired in their faith and denied their faith. There was many things that followed it. Of course, when you deny faith, that they did not go to the gatherings of the congregation. Where else can we receive the living bread, or other than in the place of services? Many times in our everyday feelings, let it be every day or it's a Sunday when we go to services, it feels that we have so much other things to do. Feels like there's other important things to do. We could do this and finish off this or do that. And leaving to services may sometimes seem difficult. But this old portion of us that we can drag it to services, how do we return from there? Do we come leave there disappointed that we received nothing? Do we think that God did not give not one single crumb of the living bread? I have such a feeling that this living bread, it has been given, it's been divided. The kingdom of God does not lack in this living bread. There is grace. But we are instructed that we would put sin away. This type of a person that does not come to the hearing of God's word or to the hearing of his congregation, he is often alone and he is he is easy to nab. From the enemy of the soul can nab him. As Peter writes, is like a roaring lion. It's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But this loneliness of a child of God, it is dangerous. It is written in the book of Ecclesiastes in this way. It is better to be of two than of one. That if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. It is easy to attack one that is alone, but if there's two, they defend each other, and a thread does not cut off too easily, especially when two children of God are together. But why do we speak of a thread that has like three threads pulled together? God has said, wherever two or three are gathered, I am there with him. The heavenly powers are there. When we speak of matters of faith, put sin away and cleanse the travel staff. And we promise, that we do not want to waver from this path. We want to endeavor on this way to heaven. It is later spoken here of for those who have denied their faith. It is said here that if we sin willfully, that means that we do it on purpose. That after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Even in the sixth chapter, it is said, in the same way, that they have that it is impossible and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. A certain child of God may think that, have I done such sin? That what is this? In Word of God, it encourages us that those who have fallen away from sin, that they would return as the prodigal son back to the Father's house. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus Christ once said to his disciples, all sins are forgiven except those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Not in this time or in the life to come. It is such a sin. It is such a that if you have done so, that person feels that he has nothing to forgive. He does not have the conscience to feel sin. And so for this way, he doesn't know what to repent of. What awaits him is what is said here, even in this text. So it says here towards the end here of the text, for a little while, and that he shall come, will come, and he will not tarry. We do not know when the angel will come, any one of us. When it is said here, the Word of God, it says here, that today, when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. Today, do not move it for tomorrow. We do not know, is it possible to receive the grace tomorrow? Yesterday's chance has already gone. So here in this end, we are encouraged. We can own this covenant, as it says here. We are not those that will lead to damnation, but those who believe shall be saved. You weak child of God, you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you, are you at the service area or on the radio or listening online? Even if you have been all your life on the outside of the kingdom of God, no matter how awful your life has gone, but this promise of the Word of God touches you. The grace of God is even for you. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name. And when you believe, you become a child of God. As a child of God, you can follow the flock of the children of God here on this earth. In this way, as Paul admiringly says to the Thessalonians, you have come to follow us in the Lord. You do not need to be alone. You do not need to battle alone. There is the grace fountain. The gospel is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.